not injustice should prevail. That's obvious. Yes. Me, individually to benefit by them, right? And I am really losing out. But the Kehillah is going to gain. Now, I am obligated to allow the Kehillah to gain, and I should lose that, correct? Now, Yeah, but just a second. But I'm telling you, there are two objectives. In other words, there's objective for society, and then there's objective for the individual. Now, if you're going to have to, there are two objectives here. There has to be. Now, if you're going to tell me that the society takes it takes precedence, right? So then there are going to be times and I'm going to lose out. Okay? Now, sometimes it depends what the loss might be. The loss might be my life. The loss might be a small thing. So you'll say, well, you lose that now, but you'll gain back in the long run. But if it's my life, I'm going to have a little chance to gain back. Correct? So then the question is, what obligates me to follow this law of the killer? In which case, we're back to the question that we asked. What obligates me to follow that law? So what obligates me to do it? But I would ask, moreover, what really is the Kehillah? Is there an entity of a Kehillah? Isn't really a Kehillah just a group of individuals? Or is a Kehillah a new entity? In other words, when you have a large amount of people together, do you have a new entity? Or do you merely have an aggregation of individuals? Say that God really is interested in the benefit of the Kehillah. What we're saying is, he's interested in the benefit of most individuals. That's all. But ultimately, it has to be for the benefit of individuals, because that's who receives the benefit. A Kehillah, and as a whole, cannot receive a benefit. If a Kehillah receives a benefit, it means that a large number of individuals receive the benefit. But there is no entity of Kehillah. Okay. Even if you should say that it's for the good of the Kehillah, you still will not remove yourself from the contradiction. Because you're going to have to maintain that it's for the good of the Kehillah that justice prevails. In which case, many cases, when justice does not prevail, like in the case that I gave you, so it's going to be bad for the Kehillah. So it doesn't make any difference, really, whether you say it's the Kehillah or whether you say it's the individual. Because regardless, once you see the objective, the general objective, and you say the general objective of a court is to administer justice. Now here you see a case where it's administering injustice, so it must be bad for the Kehillah, because that's God's purpose. So either way, you're going to have the question. Okay. You have to make a careful distinction here. The question was, we say that when God tells you something, he tells you to do something because it's good, and not that because he tells you to do it. That's why it's good. Correct? Okay. Now the question was, in this case, here you have a case where it would seem that if it weren't for God, so then you wouldn't do that. But now since God exists, so now you do it. Now there's a difference between, there is no contradiction between the two cases. Why is there no contradiction between the two cases? Because, think of it like this. We maintain both. We maintain that God tells you to do something because it is good. But it is quite possible that certain things are good because he exists. In which case, he would tell you to do something which is good because of his existence. You follow? No? Okay. Let's say like this. Let us say...
What?
Yes. Since that it is the will of God that a certain thing should be. Now, obviously, the moment you have the creation of the heavens and the earth, so you must admit that there are certain things are within the will of God, because the creation is an expression of his will. Correct? Even though the term will is a bad term. But whatever concept you're going to apply to it, we use the term will to make it simpler to understand, okay? Now, the question is like this. If it is God's will that not only that the heavens and the earth should be created, but that there should be a certain system on earth, this is an expression of God's will. Correct? Okay. Now, let us say I would say that it is good for man. The good for man is that he should be in line with God's will. Correct?
Yeah.
Then, if we say that God tells me to do such and such, what is it? In other words, God tells me to do a certain action. Now, this certain action is in line with God's will. Is that action, am I doing that action, is that action good because God told me, or is God telling me to do it because it's good?
Because it's good.
Because it's good. But the good is because it is good for you to be in line with God's will. Correct? So there is no real contradiction. The question is, if God did not exist, however impossible that might be, but if we should assume for a moment that God did not exist, of course, then it would be a different situation. Then you would have a different good. But now that God does exist, correct? Now that God does exist, so now it is a different, now it's a different situation. So therefore there is a different good for you, and God precisely is telling you to do that good. Okay? What we mean when we say that a thing isn't good because God tells you, what we mean is that everything that we do that God told us to do benefits us. That's what we mean. It's not, we're not doing God a favor. It benefits us. Correct? That we maintain is true. Nevertheless, we can maintain that certain things, the benefit is only insofar as we are in line with His will, which is a benefit for our being. If we aren't in line with His will, then something is missing in our being. So it's a benefit for us insofar as it's an expression of our nature. You see, but our nature is supposed to be such that we are in line with His will. So therefore, since it is His will, that's why it is a good for us. But it's not a good for us inherently because it's His will. It's a good for us because our nature is such that when we are in line with His will, this is our perfection. But not inherently because it is His will. Okay? Explain it again. In other words, the question was, when God says to do something, He says a certain person has rights. The question was, now I can't kill him. The question was, this would seem to be a conflict with my perfection. Because according to rationality, I should kill him. Because this would involve, and we explained that this would involve my perfection, like I wanted to, I'm supposed to destroy evil. But now God comes along and tells me not to do it. It's as if God is telling me to do something to harm myself. That was the question. Because the moment you maintain that you have to do something because God tells you, not because it's good, but because He tells you it's good, this implies that I have to do things that even harm myself. It's not for my good, it's for His good. He wants me to do it, that's why it's good. Okay? The answer is, that's not true. While it is true that if there were no such thing as God's system, then it would be right to kill this guy. But now that there is such thing as God's system, now the good is to do what God says. Because then in that way I am in line with His will, which is my perfection.
So the only real good is to be in
line. What are you saying
now? I make one thing clear. We are maintaining that in every case, that this is the story. Cain, for Cain to kill Abel was because it was evil in his nature. It was an evil thing in his nature. It wasn't because of a system over there. You understand what I mean? But we're maintaining that within that the system, and no system could be, even though the system, every basic law in the system is for the perfection of man, but there are certain situations in which you have to keep the system even though that perfection is not achieved. Correct? Because no system can be such that every situation is going to be perfect, right? So therefore, in those situations where it's imperfect, you still have to keep it. In those situations, you're keeping it because it is His will. But Cain killing Abel is because of an evil thing. He was evil. Okay? So anyway, we're not saying now that the reason why God said not to kill is because it's His will.
Because it's good.
Yeah, because it's good.
Yeah.
Correct. That's... In other words, if a person kills, he's an evil individual.
But He did say not to kill, though.
Yes, correct.
Right? Therefore, even if it is good, He still said it.
Since the perfection of not killing will be an expression of you being alone with His will, which is basically a rational thing in general terms. Do you understand what I mean? In other words, His will isn't capricious. His will is, we're not saying His will is capricious. His will is not capricious. His will is not crazy. God just said, don't kill, because you got to be there. I don't want anybody to kill with it. It's not a capricious thing. There's a benefit in not killing, and there's an evil in killing. But even in those situations where this particular thing doesn't work, you still have to do it because the perfection of man involves being in line with His will. But His will is knowledge. You understand what I mean? Yes. All right. The perfection of man is The perfection of man is in the way that he can overcome his own, in other words, when he overcomes his own specific aim, because he recognizes the will of God and the wisdom of God, and he wants that to prevail. That is perfection. Okay? It's hard for me to go through here because it's a separate area, really. I'm just showing you logically why it's not questioned. Okay? I understand that my body isn't so far as how it works, yes? The area itself is a separate area, but I just want to show you, I don't want you to walk away with any wrong ideas. We are not maintaining that God said that God gave a system, that the general system was given because simply this is his will, just capriciously. The general system is for the good of mankind in general. That's what we're maintaining. And for the good of individuals in almost every situation. But we maintain that there's something else. That there are situations in which this good will not occur to the individual. We maintain also that in those situations, the good of the individual is nevertheless to follow it. Because his perfection will be reflected insofar as his relationship to God's will.
Could that be in case
okay?
What?
Do rights exist in the ultimate system, in the system of Yahadus? The answer is they do. If you want to call them rights, then they do. Because it means that a certain individual at a certain time will not be, you cannot kill him, even though he might be deserving of death. So if you want to call that a right, you can call it a right. But the point is that there is a certain system which is expressed in certain things being done in a certain way, organized in a certain way. And this system is God's system. But you can only have that if you have a super being. If you don't have a supreme being, then the whole thing is enough. Okay. So not good because they're in line with the will of God. That would mean that then you'd be saying the other way. Then you'd be saying that the purpose of all the mitzvahs is just to follow his will, and his will is capricious. And that's his will. He doesn't want anybody to kill. I don't know why. The mitzvahs have reasons. Every mitzvah which is given is for the benefit of mankind. Man. You understand? Most individuals. So the mitzvahs wasn't given capriciously. But we say that there is another level in which man must be in line with this will of God. You see? Yeah. But we're not saying that mitzvahs were given just because it's God's will. Mitzvahs are given because there's a rational reason for every mitzvah. Every mitzvah which is given benefits us in some way.
But then
there's an inherent good in being in line with his will, even in the situation in which the...
But if God didn't exist, then there wouldn't be good, right?
Happen. Come on. If God didn't exist, then the only thing that would be good would be all the mitzvahs, generally speaking. But if it didn't apply to the situation, you wouldn't have done it. That's really the way it was. Kaidim Matan Torah. That was like I mentioned a few times. The Maisa with Yehuda and Tamar. Why wasn't the Yehuda and Avera? It was Kaidim Matan Torah? Or this is Kaidim Matan Torah? How could he do it? The answer is it's Kaidim Matan Torah. You were able to work it out. Each individual was able to work out his own perfection, his own level, his own way. But after Matan Torah, you can't do that anymore. You're bound by this particular way of reaching perfection. That's the thing. And even though you might miss perfection to a certain degree, but a person must do it. That in itself would be the perfection. Yes?
The
one point that I won't mention insofar as what that perfection is. The question is, what is that perfection? In other words, what we're saying here is that you have to take into account, in terms of your own perfection, the fact that God exists. That's what we're saying. Right? The existence of God. Now, therefore, in a certain situation, let's say I have a minute left to live and I can kill a Russia who business isn't allowed to come. I'm not allowed to kill a guy. That would be a mice of error. I will be doing a good thing. The answer is I have to take into consideration the fact that God exists and that he wants a certain system to prevail. This also must be taken into consideration in my action in order to reach perfection, right? Now, what that consideration is, I'll just give you the general heading of what it comes under. What is it? Which mitzvah is it? It is perfection. It's the mitzvah of Avas Hashem. Okay? All right.